Colossians chapter 3. Johann Sebastian Bach made this statement. This is years and years ago, of course. All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul refreshment and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only devilish hubbub. Well, that's pretty good from way back in those days. But, you know, music really is important in the Christian life. It's important in the Christian life. We've been talking about music for the last several weeks, and we will be for another week or so. But tonight I want us to focus on your music ministry. Your music ministry. God has not called all of us to be preachers and missionaries and Sunday school teachers, full-time workers. But God has given all of us a ministry of music. God wants all of us to sing. And I want to show you that tonight in this verse as we look through this. And it doesn't matter whether you can carry a beautiful tune or whether you can barely carry a tune at all. That's not the point. God wants to hear you sing. And God wants to be blessed by your singing. And that's all part of what He's saved us for, that we might sing praises to Him. But in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 16. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." As we look at this verse tonight, I want us to see how that the Holy Spirit described through Paul three different aspects of music ministry that we need to have in our life and not ignore, and not to just push it aside, but to pay close attention to it. First of all, your participation in music. Your preparation for music. Don't get old and get bifocals and trifocals and all these things. You can't see down my page. Okay? The phrase starts out there, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And he's reminding us here of the need to prepare for music. We had a great singing time tonight. Y'all sang really well tonight, and that was a blessing. But, you know, we need to prepare for singing to the word, because notice what he says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." As Paul was writing to the Colossians, we see as he opened up the book of Colossians, he was concerned for a couple of issues in their lives. One of them was that they didn't have a clear understanding of Christ. And he spends a lot of time, probably more than any other book in the Bible, describing the life and ministry, or more of the ministry and the blessings that Christ brings into our life. And we see his burden for the Colossian people. He did not start this church, as far as we can tell, but he was burdened for them. And he says down in chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2, he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of knowledge, of understanding and the acknowledging of the mystery of God that and of the Father and of Christ." Right, he says, "I want you to understand about Christ." He says down in verse number 8 of chapter 2, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He said, "I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to understand so that no one can deceive you and pull you away and turn you in the wrong direction." And to help them to be able to understand how Christ was exalted, back in chapter 1, he goes through and he highlights several characteristics of Christ. Look at verse number 18 with me. We'll start at verse number... we're going to start at verse number 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So here we have redemption through Christ, we have the forgiveness through Christ, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. So he tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of God. And then he is the firstborn of every creature. And that we see here in verse 16 that he is before, by him all things were created. And that he is did that at the end of the verse, by him and for him. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things. Verse 18 says he's the head of the body, and he is the firstborn from the dead. Verse 19 says he's in him should dwell the fullness of God. And in verse number 20, that he made peace with God through his blood of the through the blood of the cross, and he reconciled all things to himself. So we see again and again he's talking about Christ and what Christ has done for us and emphasizing that. And he continues that on through the first few chapters of the book. When you get to chapter 3, we see there he begins, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. So he's focusing us on Christ, telling us to set our affections on him. And then he gives us a list in verses 5 down through verse number 10 of some of the things we need to kill or to put away. He says in verse number 5, mortify, which means to put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members that are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection and evil concupiscence and covetousness and idolatry. And then he goes down to verse number 8, and now put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put... So he's put off these things. And then he says we need to be, have put on the new man and be renewed in the knowledge of the image of him that created him. So then he says put off, and then he runs us right into the put on. And down in verse number 12, he continues that. He says, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as God, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So all of this is in preparation to what he's going to say in verse 16. When we get to 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, what is the word of Christ? When we think about the word of Christ, he's talking about all this information we have about Christ. All that he has said here, all that he has included in these three chapters, but all that we would know through the Gospels. Everything we know about Christ. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we can actually expand it beyond that, because Jesus Christ is the word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. So really, all of the scripture reflects the mind and character of Jesus Christ, who was God the Son. And so, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It is to dwell in us. The word dwell there is a word that means to inhabit. You know, we dwell in our house. Each of you dwell in a house. And as we dwell in that house, we sleep there, we eat there, we relax there, we bathe there, we're at home there. And that's where we live, and that's our abode. So we dwell there. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. So we need to, each one, allow the scriptures to live in us. And, you know, some Christians, and sadly probably more than some, probably many Christians, and I hope it's not among us, but don't spend much time in the Bible at all. And they really don't know the Word of God very well. And it doesn't change their hearts. We need the scriptures every day. And reading the scriptures every day will feed our soul and help us to grow and help us to learn. And we can learn much from spending time with God in the scriptures. And he says here, this is important. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And then he says, richly. Dwell in you richly. The word richly there is, it has the idea of abundantly. More than just a little bit, a lot. Let it abundantly dwell in you. You know, when we think about this, those who cheer for a sports team usually do it abundantly. You know, if you go to a sports game and your team kicks a goal or whatever the case may be, and people get excited and abundantly. It isn't just, oh, wow, look at there. We got a point. Oh, good. That's too good. No, we get excited about it. And so he's saying here that we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us abundantly. The idea of this phrase is passionately from the heart to truly love the word of God and pour your heart into learning what Christ has for you. And I hope that each day you look at your time with God that you spend in the word of God as a time when you can learn and grow. And I hope that you pray and say, Lord, please today teach me something from the scriptures that can help me to grow and to be more like you. We need to do that, folks, every day. Don't let a day go by without it. You know, sometimes we may feel, but I'm so busy. I just don't have time. But no, we need to say, no, even though I'm busy, I've got to make time for this because spending time with God is absolutely critical in our lives for all of us. And so I trust that you will make that a priority. And here he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he moves on to the purpose of music. All right, we've looked at the preparation for music because this whole verse is about music. So the preparation is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And really, if we don't have the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, we're not going to be able to sing like we ought to. You know, one of the reasons that we get excited when we sing some of the hymns in our book, and you're singing some of those songs, and you're seeing the things that God did for us, and they remind you of Scripture. The reason that can excite you is if those scriptures have already excited your heart and your heart was on fire for the Lord and you sing that and you say, yes, that's exactly what God does. Yes, that's a blessing. And we sing those songs and it's an encouragement to us. So he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so that you can sing abundantly. You know, if our heart is not passionate for the Lord, we will have little desire to sing to the Lord. If our heart's not passionate for the Lord, we'll have very little desire to sing to the Lord. And so we need to learn to sing. And I trust that you will get a passion to sing if you've not been one who really enjoys singing. Just ask God to give you a passion to sing. Open your heart, get into the Word, let the Word of Christ fill you richly so that you'll have a desire to sing. But then he talks about the purpose. He says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, your music is to teach and admonishing one another. To teach and admonish. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word teach there is a pretty obvious word. It means to instruct somebody. And so when we sing, we are to be instructing others. And you know, we can learn a lot about God through our songs. That's why we sing the songs in this book that are based on Scripture. You know, children. Most children, I think I could probably say most, learn their alphabet by using a song. Most everybody does. Then there's different little songs that sing the alphabet, but they learn that and it helps them to learn all the alphabet. And if you ask the child, you know, just say your alphabet, sing the song. Oh yeah, I can do that. And they learn that because the song helps them learn. And we can learn a lot about God through singing our songs. You sing songs like, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God My Father. And you think about the words of that song. Singing, and it's exalting God. It's teaching us about God. It is showing us things about Him. And it is a great help to us. And then a song like that song, Why, that we sing, about the resurrection. Why did they nail him to Calvary's tree? Why? You know, that song is full of teaching about Christ. It instructs us and teaches us about the Lord. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, I may have alluded to this last week, but in Deuteronomy chapter 31 is where the one that I'm wanting. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and down in verse number 19, 31, 19, he says, now therefore, God speaking to Moses, and he says, now therefore write this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. All right, so he says, I want you to teach them this song. wasn't a little one-liner either. It was quite a few paragraphs of this song. And they were to learn that song and memorize that song so that when they sang that song, it reminded them of the things that God had done for them. And so he's showing us there the importance of music in song and instruction in our music and the things that we learn through our music. And so when we sing biblical songs, we teach biblical truth. And that's, you know, we are teaching each other. That's what the scripture says here. He says they're teaching and admonishing one another. So as we're singing, we're actually teaching one another as we're singing these songs. We're singing them to each other. It's feeding our own heart, and we're edifying others through that. And this is what God has instructed us to do. God has planned this. And he said also it should be admonishing. The word admonish there means to warn or to exhort. It also has the idea of to encourage. But I think that probably warning and exhorting is probably the more of a primary meaning of it. And so the idea there is trying to encourage and warn people. Some of the songs that we sing, that little chorus that we sing, Stay Awake, that is a song of admonition. Stay awake. Be ready. The enemy, the devil, is after you. All right? So it's admonishing. Other songs that we have, we sing in the hymn book, The Fight Is On, O Christian Soldier, or Hold the Fort, or Stand Up for Jesus, or Yield Not to Temptation. All of these are songs that are admonishing us. Don't yield to temptation. Do what's right. So as we sing that song, it's going through our minds and it's penetrating our heart and it's teaching us to try to do what is right and to think what's right in these areas. All right, so that's very important. And then he says that where the teaching and admonishing is prefaced there with the words in all wisdom. In all wisdom. And as we think about that, the wisdom here, we need God's wisdom to know how to choose songs that teach and admonish. You know, the reason we have our hymn book is our hymn book is full of good songs that have lots of doctrine in it that is helpful and good. And we need to teach and admonish one another through the scriptures. But you know, when you're choosing songs that are outside of our hymn book, then you need God's wisdom to know, is this good? Is it helpful? Is it going to be building up? And is it going to be helping? And we need to be able to examine the words in it to see whether they're doctrinally true, see whether they're going to be faithful to the scriptures, see if they're going to teach us and admonish us the way that God wants us to be taught and admonished. You know, there are, as we think about that, many of today's contemporary Christian music songs are shallow with very unscriptural lyrics sometimes. Now, they're not always that. And I have to admit that there are some of their songs that you look at the lyrics of it and the lyrics are somewhat decent. Often they'll repeat things again and again and again. But other times it's a pretty decent lyrics in the song. But then we have to evaluate when we're looking at that. Then we have to evaluate what's the music like. And sadly, many times, even though the words might be reasonably good, if it's sung in a worldly style with a sensual slant to it or a lustful sound to it or a showy sound to it with a backbeat of rock in the background drumming through that and often with a dance style going along with that, that contradicts the words. If the words are solid, but the presentation is the opposite, the two of them conflict. They don't work together properly. And God says we are to turn away from that. Remember James said in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? He said when we are friends of the world, when we snuggle up to the world and their ways of doing things and the ways that they sing their music, he says we're actually becoming an enemy of God. We need to be very careful about that. And our music must clearly teach and admonish. And then God recommends for us three kinds of music. We saw that in Ephesians, but let's take a look at it again. He talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalms are primarily scripture songs. They're songs that either come straight from the scripture or from the psalms of our Bible They're scripture songs, is what the idea of the word psalms refers to. And some of the songs that we would sing, that a couple of the choruses that we sing, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall keep thee. That's a scripture song. Another one is be careful for nothing. That's a scripture song based on the scripture, built on scripture. On Wednesday nights, we sing a lot of scripture choruses that are built on scripture. They expound the scriptures to us in a very helpful way. Then the hymns, the word hymn means songs of praise. Songs of praise. And many of the hymns in our songbook are songs of praise. Examples would be like, Since the Savior Found Me, Pardoned All My Sins. That's a song of praise. And then songs of, well, even the obvious one, praise Him, Jesus our Blessed Redeemer. That's a song of praise. And there's lots of other songs of praise in our book. But probably the largest group of songs in our hymn book would be the ones that fall into the next category, spiritual songs. And spiritual songs are songs that are spiritual, but the word songs there refers to a poetic lyric. Right? So it's poems that have been put to music. And many of the songs in our hymn book, you look at them and they rhyme. They're poems that have been put to music. And they are great songs to help us and to encourage us and to build us up, but they need to be spiritual, not worldly. We need to make sure that our songs are spiritual, not carnal, not worldly, not pulling us the wrong direction. Songs like Showers of Blessing is a good example of that. There should be showers of blessing. And, you know, it's a rhyming tune. Another one is Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey gives a good example of these kind of hymns. You know, our hymn book consists of many of these. Now, occasionally, and actually, Garrett and I have worked on this, and we need to work on it some more, but we each have our own hymn book, and the reason is because we sometimes will put an X on certain verses. Occasionally, there's some songs that the verse just, it's not quite as scriptural as it ought to be. And occasionally, there's a song that we say, well, no, we shouldn't sing that song. We just don't sing that song at all. But you know, what I'd like you to do is help us with this. If you ever see a song that has a line in it that doesn't match up with Scripture, tell us about it. Either tell me or tell Brother Gerhard, and we'll work on it and examine it. And if that's the case, we'll mark it off in our book. We don't have to sing all the verses of songs. We want to sing what's going to feed our souls and build us up. We don't want to be singing songs that are going to say things and teach us things that are wrong doctrine. And so you help us with that. It can be a great help if you'll pitch in and help with that. Now, you might be wondering, well, what about songs that aren't in our book? What about songs like Happy Birthday and the National Anthem and, you know, some songs like that? Are they wrong to sing? No, I don't think so, as long as they meet a criteria of what is good song. All right, so they need to, first of all, have wholesome words in them. You know, if they have foul words in them, obviously that doesn't pass. And they need to make sure that it's non-worldly, non-carnal in its presentation, and a straight rhythm in it, so it doesn't have the backbeat in it. And we talked about the backbeat of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's common in all of the rock music songs. And sometimes it's very obvious, sometimes it's not so obvious. But it's there if you listen carefully. So non-Christian songs can be good songs as long as they meet the criteria of good songs, but many of them don't, unfortunately. Now, lastly, I want us to notice that our participation in music. I got started on the wrong end here. I started on the participation instead of where I was supposed to. But our participation in music. He ends the verse there. He says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right? So, the whole verse gives us a command. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So he says, this is a command. The Word of God is to be primary in our hearts. We're to sing and admonish one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's supposed to come from the singing of our hearts to the Lord. And so he wants us to sing. He's encouraging us to sing. And you know, as I said earlier, you may not be the preacher or teacher or someone of a leadership position, but you can sing. All of us can sing. Even if you can't sing very well, that's not the point. God's not asking us to sing perfectly. He's asking us to sing. And thrills my heart to see people sing. And sometimes, you know, that people that don't sing, you know, I wonder, well, what's bothering them? What's troubling them? And I've seen different times people that come that don't know the Lord as their Savior, and they just sit there and they won't sing. And they don't have any reason to sing because they don't know the Lord. And there's nothing to sing about. But once we know Christ, we ought to have a song in our heart. And if once we have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly, it ought to flow from our heart so that we can sing with gladness. And so God is not asking us to be elaborate singers. He's just asking us to sing from our heart to the Lord. That's all God is asking from us. And scripture songs and songs of praise and spiritual poetic songs that we sing to each other and to the Lord, that teach doctrine and exhort one another, please and glorify and honor the Lord. And so we need to sing right out and sing with vigor and sing with your whole heart when you sing in the congregation. Don't be afraid to sing out. And that's something that all of us can do. That's something that each of us can pitch in and do. But sing from your heart so that you're being a blessing to others around you when you're singing. And so God wants us to sing. And He said that we're to sing with grace to the Lord. With grace, God's ability that He gives to us. Sing to the Lord. With that ability, if you've got vocal cords, you can sing. You need to sing to the Lord. Several verses, I mean, there's hundreds of verses. There are somewhere around 500 plus verses in the Bible that deal with music. And some of them that are really challenging. Here's a few to think on. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Psalm 149, 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the saints. So God wants us to sing. And you folks are good singers. And I'm not rebuking any of you. I'm encouraging you tonight. Because you are good singers. And I appreciate that. We have a congregation that sings well for the small size that we are. Good vine. But you know, we can always pour more of our hearts into it. I think Gerard would be able to help me occur with me on this, is that sometimes we look out there and people are singing, but sometimes only kind of half-heartedly. But God loves it when we put our heart in it, think about the song, sing it with a passion from the depths of your heart, and God will get the glory for it. And Christians who do not sing or hold back for one reason or another are really disobeying this command when God says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That is a command for each of us. We are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And so God will bless us if we'll do that, and God will be pleased if we do that. So we need to first of all remember, He said, prepare your heart, make sure you're dwelling in the Scriptures, spending time with God so that your heart is filled with love for the Lord. And then when you come to sing the songs, they'll pour out of your heart to the Lord because you are in love with Him through the Scriptures. And then fulfill your purpose in music by singing the songs that teach and admonish the souls of others and your own soul. As we sing those, we're teaching and admonishing one another. And then participate in the congregational singing with your whole heart. And so these are some things that I believe that can be a great help to us, that we'll put them into our lives, and take that verse and think about it and meditate on it and let it speak to your heart. If you've held back in days gone by and you're singing, don't hold back. Don't worry whether your voice is melodic or not. That's not the point. We need to sing out with our whole heart and with our whole soul and rejoice in the Lord. And God will bless us. We'll do that. Your music is your ministry to the Lord. That's one of the ways that every one of us can bring praise and glory to God by singing from our heart to Him.